Dear saints, it is good for us Christians to memorize prayer. Words that we can use in any circumstance to pray to God. You probably already have some prayers memorized, like perhaps the prayer our Lord taught us, our Father who art in heaven. Or perhaps prayer to ask a blessing at mealtime, like from the Catechism, the eyes of all look to you, O Lord. Or perhaps, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. There's also evening and morning prayers. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son. And other common bedtime prayers, now I lay me down to sleep. Knowing prayers by heart is a wonderful way to pray. But perhaps in the few that I listed off, you're thinking, I don't really know a lot of prayers by heart. Well, there's probably a prayer that you do know by heart, a prayer that is entirely based upon God's word in every single part. Maybe you've prayed it often, and perhaps you've prayed it time over and again. Because it's a short little prayer, it is not difficult to know by heart. And it is this: Come, Lord Jesus. That three-word prayer comes directly from the Bible, Revelation 22:20, which is the second-to-last verse in the entire Word of God. Come, Lord Jesus. It's a prayer that is appropriate to pray at any point and in any moment of time. But Christians have the tendency to pray, Come, Lord Jesus, in particular situations when they look at the world around them and see that things just aren't right. When things aren't the way that they are supposed to be. Perhaps when age is starting to show the frailty of the body and that our flesh confirms that which we already knew, that we aren't going to live forever, at least not yet. So in the midst of pain or health issues or a difficult diagnosis, Christians pray, Come, Lord Jesus. Or sometimes we pray that prayer in the face of the evils of the world. We see just another act of violence upon a mass of innocent people. Or we observe the continued moral decay of a society around us. Or we find ourselves subject to governmental tyranny that would forbid the preaching of Christ. Or when we find ourselves on the brink of nuclear war, Christians pray, Come, Lord Jesus. But why? Why would these circumstances particularly lead us to pray, Come, Lord Jesus? You see, the answer to that question doesn't just teach us something about this prayer. The answer to that question teaches us something about why Christians pray at all. Because Christians pray not first out of our own depravity, but first out of the promises of our Lord. The reason we rush to a prayer like, Come, Lord Jesus, is because we know the promise that is embedded in the coming of Jesus. If we thought that Christ was angry, wrathful, an executioner who's really going to wallop those sinners, none of us would ever pray, Come, Lord Jesus. It's because we know that when the Lord comes, He's going to fix, finally, all that had gone wrong with this sinful world. That's why I said prayer is based upon not on our own depravity, but it's based out of the promises of God. Because if you have things that are wrong, but no promise that God will do anything about it, then you don't even bother praying. That's what Advent is all about. Come, Lord Jesus. We emphasized that last week, that Advent means coming, and it's about our Lord who comes. But today, I hope to emphasize why our Lord comes. part of Advent is that we poor sinners are crying out in lament for all of the sufferings in this life. All the wrongs that consume us day in and day out. All the things that ought not be, and we are crying to our Lord and God who can do something about it. But what's more, not that just that he can do something about it, but that he has promised to do something about it. And that's what brings us to John the Baptist. When I was young, as I wondered if John the Baptist was an American Baptist or a Southern Baptist. Well, perhaps we can call him John the Baptizer. He's a man dressed in camel's hair and a leather belt, eating locusts and wild honey. And this is the one who is prophesied about from Isaiah. "Behold, I will send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now, this might lead us to wonder, why does the Lord need someone to prepare his way? Why doesn't the Lord prepare his own way? It seems that the Lord God could make his own paths straight. Well, the preparing that John the Baptist comes with is a preparing of you. It's a preparation for sinners. That when John the Baptist comes preaching, he preaches, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he comes ministering a baptism of repentance. Why? Because the presence of God is about to dawn upon sinners. That the Almighty God is about to dwell amongst transgressors. And that no salvation is ever found apart from the repentance of sin. It's an interesting thing, if you really think about it, what happens when you mix an almighty, holy God with sinners. It's an explosive mixture. Those two things, God and sin, do not mix. God and sin cannot coexist together. And when they do, one will destroy the other. So you tell me, when the holy, almighty God is in the same place as sin, which do you think will win out? Who will destroy who? God, who is all-powerful, he won't tolerate sin or the presence of sin, so that the almighty, all-powerful God would destroy sinners, right? At least that's what you would expect, isn't it? But that isn't what our Lord does. At least not in his first coming in the incarnation. No, since the mixture of God and sin, one will destroy the other, Jesus, out of love for fallen humanity, did not want to destroy you. So our Lord allows it the other way, as Jesus walked this earth in flesh and blood, very God of very God, Jesus yields to sin, and that he lets transgressors destroy him. Since sin and God can't coexist, Jesus takes sin upon himself to the very point of death. That Christ allowed sin to destroy him so that it would not destroy you. This is how our Lord Jesus has provided for your salvation. Because when our Lord returns in glory, again, God and sinners cannot coexist at the same time. When he comes on that last day, God is going to do away with sin. The first time he came, he let sin destroy him. But when he comes in his glory, God is going to destroy sin. That's what we've been praying, hasn't it? Come, Lord Jesus. But the question is, can we see our sin as sin that our Lord has already destroyed on the cross? Or are we going to deny our sin to be sin, in which the Lord will destroy us on that last day? You see, the reason John the Baptist comes preaching repentance is that we would see that our Lord has already come to deal with our problem of sin. That he would prepare us for the coming of the Lord by giving us repentant hearts. That we confess our sins to be rebellion against our God and our King. Because you and I lament the world of sin and death, we pray, come Lord Jesus, and he is coming. But one thing we must confess is that we aren't just poor victims in this mess. That we put ourselves in this position. That it's humanity's sin against God that brought death into the world. And that you have been a willing participator in this sin since the day you were born. You boil it all down to really, it just all comes down to you. Looking out for number one, that no one else matters. To serve others is no matter of yours. If someone offends your pride, you get defensive and angry. Repent. Come, Lord Jesus. It isn't just an end times prayer. It isn't just asking for Jesus to inaugurate the end where this world of hurt will finally pass away. It is also a prayer for Jesus to come here today. You see, it's not as if Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father is a lazy boy recliner, as if he's sitting back watching football, really rooting that you play things out the right way. But remember what our Lord and Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." When we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," we aren't only asking that Jesus remember his promises on that last and final day. We're not just asking for the Lord to hurry up. In the meantime, we're all alone. When we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," we're asking Jesus to make good on his promises in the here and the now. Because after all, it's in the here and the now that Jesus brings you the forgiveness of the sins you need for sins committed here and now. They are sins for which Christ has already dealt with. They are sins that he has already died for. So that Jesus gives you the promise in the here and now that God is not punishing you for any thought, any action or inaction, any deed that was against the will of God. God does not punish you for those sins because the wrath of God for those sins has already been spent upon the cross of Christ. And so, burdened by lustful thoughts that keep coming back, we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." And Jesus says, "Remember your baptism, that I gave you for the forgiveness of sins, and lo, I am with you always." And you think about those times that you've been hot-tempered, and in a course of pride, you snap at those you love. Come, Lord Jesus. And Jesus says, "Take, eat, take, drink, given for you for the forgiveness of sins, and lo, I am with you always." And you lament, for there is much evil in this world of suffering. Come, Lord Jesus. And Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Which is why every Lord's Day we gather together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," we are anxiously awaiting our Lord to make good on his promises, to bring an end to this world of misery. And it's true. This patient suffering at times can get rather heavy. But our Lord Jesus does not leave us as orphans. He gives us as a present reality the forgiveness of all of our sins. So with the promise of forgiveness and the promise of sonship and the promise that he will be with us forever, if he would have us suffer, then suffer we shall, but only with the certainty, with his promise, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.